Good morning. How's everyone doing? Very good. A big thank you to our students and young adults for leading us so far. Can we give them a round of applause? They've done a great job. Thank you very much, guys. And there's a little taster that you got of a Thursday evening with us. So we meet every second Thursday evening over at my house, and sometimes it's a bit of a squeeze to get us all in, but we have a really good time. And if you ever complain about your small group finishing, sometimes ours finishes at about 11:30, 12 o'clock at night. So there we go. But we have some really great discussions, and we go really deep into some matters. And so we love our times together. So we're back in 1 Corinthians, so if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and it's just a small section that we are looking at today. It's just verses 19 to 23. But let me pray before we read this. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you that it is a light into our paths. And we pray, Lord, that your word would illuminate before us, Lord, that we would understand what you are saying to us and what you are asking of us, what you're saying it means to be a follower of Jesus. So please speak to us through your word now, in Jesus' name, amen. So let me read this. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessing. Dan was telling us a few moments ago about the Christian Union, the Aberdeen CU Missions Week. So it's something that Christian unions all across the country do. They'll choose a week in the year, and it's normally around this time of year, and they'll do lots of different events, but they'll do other ones in the year as well. So often they'll run a Kaylee, some quiz nights or something like this. But one thing that they've, I think most universities do, and I'm pretty sure Aberdeen Uni have done it, I'm not too sure about RGU, but they do something called Text a Toasty. Did you guys do that this year? Does RGU do it as well? No, you need to get on. You do. You did it historically, but not presently. You need to get that back in the game. So Text a Toasty is a really simple idea of, I don't know how you do it, in fact. I've never actually seen it. I wish I could have got one of those toasties, but it's not to have been so far. I did ask if they would deliver to Blackburn at one point, but they said no. But you get this number. So they put this number around campus. And if you text it, you text in with a question that you have. And it can be any question on life, faith, Christianity, who is God. It can be anything on that. But with your response to it, you don't just get an answer to your question, you get a toasty with it at the same time. It's a phenomenal idea, people. We really should get on that as a church as well, I think. I think it's something that we could implement here. I think Strathclyde University, in fact, they just did it a couple of weeks ago, and I was speaking with Matt Smart last Sunday, and he said it was brilliant. Folks were asking loads of great questions, and it was really making us think about what we believe, and so they were owning more of what they believed, and they were sharing the gospel at the same time. Now, I have come across a variation of this, Dan, I don't know if you maybe want to do this at Aberdeen Uni or not. I think you maybe need to feel called to this. But at Stirling University, so it was Craig McLeod who told me about this a few years ago, instead of text a toasty, they did text a cleaner. Talk about sacrificial love. That is it in action. So what Stirling Uni did is that they put small teams together. And so you could text in your question, but people would come round to your flat, they would answer your question, and they would clean your flat at the same time. Now, think on some of these student flats. I've been in a few over the last few years. There's been some, and I'm not even sure what they had on the floor. I don't know if there was carpet or if it was hard floor. You were just stepping on everything. And some of our students here, I think, live in that kind of squalor right now. some of these flats, you walk in and there is like an intoxicating level of links. Like, they're really pushing the links effect to the max there. They really are. And so by the HSE, I think if they came in, they would be shutting some of the places down. So I think that is really sacrificial. I don't know if that is exactly what we are called to do, but I loved how they wanted to do something that was pushing themselves. They're just like, yes, we want to do something that shows that we love them and where we can spend some time with them having a good conversation. I don't know what the outcome of that was. I don't know if they reverted to the text to toasted the year after or not. I'm thinking they probably did, but I loved how they were willing to do something like that. So today, as we dig into 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and specifically look at these verses of 19 to 23 and how Paul would become all things to all people so that they might be saved, I wonder if Paul thought on cleaning some student apartments at the same time. I'm not sure. So as we approach a passage like this, for some of us in the room, we might be like, yes, this is brilliant. You might feel really excited about it. You might feel liberated by it. And then for some other of us in the room, we might feel like, oh man, this feels heavy, this passage. That feels like a pretty big burden. You may look at the example of Paul and think, wow, that sounds exhausting. Sounds like really hard work. But Paul, as you'd expect of Paul, he does a great job in framing it. He frames it so well. So if you look at verse 19, let's look at that one and see what it says. Though I am free from all, I've made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them. Paul, again, is coming back to this theme that we've seen time and time again over the last few weeks of freedom in Christ and how that allows us all to exercise our faith in a multitude of ways. That freedom and true identity in Christ, it underpins all that we are and all that we do. Romans 8 reminds us, and either Fiona or Melissa actually prayed this, but that we've received a spirit of adoption as sons and daughters, children of God, co-heirs with Christ. We are his children. Jesus in John 15 describes us as his friends. And he goes further in Matthew 12, where he says, if we do the will of his Father, that we are called his brothers and sisters. We are children of God. We are friends of God. We are brothers and sisters of Christ. That is who we are. If you know and love Jesus, if you follow Jesus, that is who you are. That is our identity. I think the world likes to put labels on things. It likes to try and put us into little boxes here and there. I think those things can bind and limit us so quickly. It's like, oh, you're this person, therefore you fall into that category, therefore you can only do that. But that is not who you are. You are not bound and limited. You are free in Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. But we need to choose to walk in that freedom. We need to choose it. And I think we see that in this passage of how Paul, in his spirit of freedom, with the Spirit working and flowing through him, chooses then to become a servant to all. And so Martin touched on this last week, but if you look back to verse 16 in the passage, we read, for necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. I think we would all agree in this room that necessity is laid upon us all. For all followers of Jesus, we are called to go and make disciples, to go and make Jesus known across this world. And I love what Dan was saying of, like, that is the aim of the Christian Union. They want to be evangelists where they are, where God has put them, and they're going to use as many means as they can to spread his fame. It's in the Great Commission in Matthew 28. So Paul's natural next step from that compulsion, from that necessity, is to say, I will do whatever it takes, but within reason. And we've touched on that in the last few weeks as well. To share the good news of Jesus Christ with the whole world. Paul, as a child of God, alive in the Holy Spirit, chooses to become, what does it say in the passage here? It says, a servant to all. He is willing to lay aside his own comfort, his own desires, and make himself, it says, make himself a servant to all that they may know Christ. This is a choice that he is willingly taking. I think sometimes when we read the Bible that we kind of read it with a little bit of a monotone voice. It can be a little flat, and we're just trying to get, and to be honest, when we're going through a passage like that, I'm not too sure how many times I said the word law, but it was a lot in there. It was quite complicated, but as I was reading that passage, it feels really fast-paced to me. He's like, I actually get a sense that he's excited about this. He really is. There's a sense of desperation in his voice. He's just like, yes, come on, people, come on. You can choose. You can choose this. So we need to choose this with excitement and joy in our hearts because it's out of response to what Jesus has done for us. Because Jesus has said, you are my brothers and sisters. Because Jesus gladly went to the cross for us. So we can be servants to others so that they can share in the blessing. May we all respond in a similar way to Paul. May we be compelled. In Romans, when Paul writes it, he writes it almost like an obligation. He's just like, you know, if I don't do this, I'm not being true to myself at all. If I'm actually not doing those things, am I who I think I am? He is compelled. He's compelled to share the wonder of the gospel. You can see the gratefulness in his identity and the freedom in Christ that he has. And he's choosing to share far and wide the glory and the fame of Jesus Christ. Yesterday, Fiona mentioned there was an IGM day here. And they were telling us about some of the work of IGM, but also telling us how to share stories well. And they were talking about, you know, you've got your why, the how, and the what. And sometimes we share the what first, then we go to the how, and then eventually we get with the why. But we need to start with the why here first. I think if we move on to the rest of this passage and don't start with who we are in Christ and what Christ has done for us, the rest of it, it will feel like a burden. It will feel like, oh man, we're being asked to do something else here. But if we start with who Jesus is, we start with the freedom that Jesus gives us, what he has done for us, that he bought us. He shed his blood for us. Then the rest of the passage actually just sounds like a great opportunity. It's just like, oh yes, hold on. Because of who I am in Christ, I can actually choose to become a servant to all. I can do these things. I'm not limited. I'm not bound by what the world says. I have the power of God living in and through me, and he's going to equip and enable me for all of these things. May our desires and our comfort be secondary to others hearing the good news of Jesus Christ and sharing in the blessing that we all enjoy. So let's move on in the passage. Let's read it again, verses 20 through to 23. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those under the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. I think much of that can be summarized in a few words that are found in verse 22. By all means, I might save some. You have to imagine how those words would have landed on the people back then. They'd be like, whoa, hold on, hold Paul, are you saying you're going to become like a Jew to the Jews when you're around them, and to the Gentiles you're going to become like a Gentile when you're around them? And that would have been a big deal at the time. So go and read Galatians 2 at the end. We don't have time for it now, but go and have a read of Galatians 2, and you see where Paul and Peter kind of come head-to-head on some of these things. It would have been a big deal. Really big deal. But it was Paul's liberty, his freedom in Christ, that enabled him to say, by all means. And the purpose of this is littered right the way through this passage. 5 times in the space of those verses, he says that I might win some. Once he says to save them, and finally he says that I may share with them in its blessing. 7 times in 5 verses, he makes it clear on why he's doing this. He wants them to share in the blessing that they have. And what a blessing we have. I think even we've been able to demonstrate a little bit of that in our time together so far, of where we've been able to share some things that we're thankful for. Just sharing the goodness of God that we've seen in our lives, and we can share that together. We can share those times on those mountaintop times, but we can also share those times when we're in the valley, those real struggles. We've got people who are sitting next to you who are going to be lifting you up in prayer throughout this week. What a blessing that is. What a blessing it is that you all have people surrounding you who are going to be lifting you up and your needs before God, the one who can bring change, the one who is powerful enough and mighty enough to bring change in any circumstance, if it is his will. We have so much blessings here as children of God and as a family of God, and Paul desperately wants to share that. So I've got 4 things for us to consider when we're thinking about by all means. So 4 things for us to think about, and what I'm going to do at the end is, we've not actually done this in our young adults group for a while, but it's something that has been really good. I'm pretty sure 1 or 2 other small groups do this as well, but we're going to do like an I will statement off the back of it. So as we're going through the Word of God, there should always be a response to it. But sometimes we need to be held accountable on responding to it. Sometimes we're a little bit bad at walking out the door and kind of forgetting what we've just heard about. So at the end of it, we're going to maybe write something down. You'll take your phone out, and you can type yourself a message, or you can write it down, and you'll share it with someone else before you leave today. And you'll hold each other to account on how are you going to respond to this message. So keep that in mind as I'm going through these things. So 4 things for us to consider when we're thinking by all means. The first one, I'm going to say these 4 things are pretty obvious, but sometimes we just need obvious things pointed out to us. So the first one is, we can't isolate ourselves from people who do not yet know Jesus. It will be very, 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 very difficult for people to get to know Jesus if you don't spend time with them. It's a really simple thing, but it's true. In fact, it won't just be difficult, it will be impossible. It's obvious that as we read this passage, and we even just look at Paul's life. In fact, most of your Bibles, if you flick to the back, you'll see some maps in there. And those maps are the journeys that Paul took. Paul did not isolate himself at all. He went to many people. Many people. He was planting churches on his travels and spent much time encouraging Christians as well as going to those who did not yet know. The Great Commission, what does it say in there? It says for us to go. It doesn't say wait for people to come to you until they come in the doors and then you can tell them. It says to go. We need to be active in that. We need to be the ones that are taking the first steps towards them. They're not, well, they might. Let's pray that they are, that the Holy Spirit would be doing an incredible work in the people in our community, that actually they would come in through these doors. But the command is for us to go. And in that, we need to have deep roots in Christ, deep roots in Christian community, but we need to have branches that spread out to many other people. And there is, I've spoken about this before, there's a real temptation for us to just do things together. And they would be good things. Undoubtedly, they would be good things. But we need to find the balance in it of where are we looking to spend time with people who do not yet know Jesus? Where are we deliberately placing ourselves where we can grow friendships with people we hardly know, or maybe you don't even know them yet? So that in time you can build a trusting friendship and you can live out the gospel before them. Where can you get some great friendships so when tough times hit, and tough times hit everyone, they're going to come and speak to you because they know that they can trust you. Don't isolate yourself. I'll admit, I find this a pretty big challenge. And I've actually found it something that is more difficult since I've become a pastor in a church. It seems ridiculous, that, but it's the truth of where, don't get me wrong, I love spending time with you all. I really do. But I'm really challenged by it. It's like, Scott, where are you purposefully trying to invest time with people who do not yet know Jesus? And there's it's a big thing for me to think on. Just like, okay, I need to really think this through. So the second point is, we must be willing to rearrange our lives. Our lives are so busy, and everything is finely balanced. You've got work, time with kids, time with your spouse, other relatives, friends, hobbies, housework, DIY. I don't do DIY. I get my dad to do the DIY, so it's not really. Gardening, ministry, your devotion time, watching your favorite TV shows, your sports teams. There's so much going on in life. There really is. It can feel jam-packed. And so when we're thinking about the message from today, that's why it was so important to start with where we started. Because if not, this is going to feel like a burden. We can feel overcome. We might feel, man, this is just one more thing that I need to add into my schedule. Just one more thing. How am I going to find the time for that? But it's probably about rearranging our times. I love how Paul puts this. He wants to be a servant to all. And I think as we kind of grapple with that, it's kind of him saying, I'm not calling the shots here. First of all, he's saying, I'm a servant to Christ, and I'm a servant to others around me. They call the shots. God calls the shots on my life. So I'm going to spend time with him asking, where should I be investing my time? And then I'm going to look to see who God has put around me, and I'm going to say, okay, I need to change some stuff to get some time with them. My encouragement for all of us, me included, is that throughout this week, we take a good look at our diaries, good look at everything that we do in life, and just say, do I have space here that I'm actually going to be used by God to win some? We need to be willing to create the space for it. We need to be willing to change our lifestyles, our priorities, our spending, our schedules, our use of time. And again, as I said beforehand, don't just be willing to do it. Do it with gladness. You're creating space to share the greatest person who has ever lived with your friends and with your neighbors who desperately need to hear the gospel. Let's do this with gladness, with joy in our hearts. I get to rearrange my time so I can share the greatest gift with all of my friends and my family. This isn't a burden, people. Let's do it with gladness. Let's think again what it means for us to live lives that are living sacrifices. And be willing to try something new. Maybe take up a different hobby, a different sport, go to a different coffee shop, a different pub, go to that community event that you've never been before. But let's put ourselves in places where we're going to meet people. Let's not stay in a Christian bubble. Let's make sure that we are deeply rooted in Christ, deeply rooted in Christian community, but our branches are going far and wide. Third thing, understand your communities and the culture. Now, Paul willingly engaged with many different cultures. So there was the Jews, there was the Greeks, and the Romans. They would all have been really quite different. But he did it all so well and so effectively. If we think on his letters and the ones that we have, they were written to different people in different places facing different issues. But he relates with them so well. But he took time in it. If you look at Acts 17, where Paul is in Athens, the first few verses, it kind of shows that he just observed what was going on for a while. And then he responded to it. But as he responds to it, he's taking their culture with him. So I think at one point he says, I saw a statue to the unknown God or something like that. But you need to spend time in community. You need to spend time with people to understand the issues that are going on in their life. If not, we're just kind of guessing at it a little bit. 2 years ago, at the Baptist Union of Scotland Assembly, they have several speakers who come and share with us at that. They had a guy called Rich Robinson, who currently works for an organization called Cairn. And so Cairn is based in Edinburgh. It's kind of come out of Central Baptist Church. And Central, they look to equip leaders and churches to fulfill the God-given vision for their church and their community. But before he was in Edinburgh and with Cairn, him and his wife lived in Sheffield. Now, I'm not going to go through the whole story, partly because I don't remember the whole story, but at one point in their in his and his wife's life, they felt really called to go and share the gospel with a certain community within Sheffield. And so that community was known for being really quite poor. And so they said, oh, hold on, we need to try and understand who they are, what issues that they are facing, and we need to really invest in them. And so they decided that they would go and move there, that they would go and take everything they have, and they would go and move into a flat in that community. They wanted to be with them 24/7. So over months and years, through many conversations and investing time in people, they really began to understand the issues of the community. And I think there's a real danger of how we can just diagnose something straight away on just on what we see first time. But often what we see is not what the root problem is. And I think that's what Rich found in this community. And so, but it was only through spending significant time really understanding who the people were that they felt that they were able to make a big impact on that community. And through their time, they invested a lot of time, energy. They rearranged their lives, their priorities, definitely. And they slowly saw lives impacted with the gospel and change happen in the life of individuals. David Platt, a preacher in the States, speaks of wisely contextualizing the gospel. You do things different in each context that will reach a certain group of people in a way that they will understand it. As we understand the culture, the issues, their identities, and how best to communicate, we remove obstacles. We take away stumbling blocks rather than build them up by misunderstanding. I think none of us want to do that. None of us want to get in the way of sharing the gospel message just by misunderstanding something. But sometimes I think we just look for quick fixes for stuff. Jesus never promised that this would be fast. But one thing, they didn't actually mention this yesterday, the IGM day, but Gary Hogan, who is the founder of IGM, and this is speaking about their work, so they do a lot of great work to release people from slavery. And I'm not saying that this is the same, but I think there's something for us to take from it. He describes IGM work as the long and boring. And so they're just like, they are committed to it beyond belief. They're just like, people need to do this. They understand that this is not going to be a quick fix, that they're going to have to invest for years and years and years, and there's going to be setbacks on the way probably. But they do not give up. They keep going and going and going in the strength of Jesus Christ. And I think we need to learn that as well. Things are often not quick. You spend years journeying with people. Years. And sometimes there'll be setbacks in the way. But we keep going. We invest time in people. And the fourth one, the power of the gospel is in its fullness. As we engage with different people in different cultures, we must remain faithful to the good news of Jesus Christ. We do not compromise on it. We stay true to it. We don't dilute it. We don't leave out the bits that we're uncomfortable with. We share it and we live it out to the fullest. Don't sin to save a sinner. We do not compromise. In verse 21 of the passage, in that kind of wordy section, it says, to those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. Paul was willing to become all things to all people, but within reason. He was never going to give up on who he was. He would never compromise on his faith. He would never compromise on Jesus Christ. And in that, we need wisdom on how to share things well. We've got a lot of primary school teachers or ex-primary school teachers here. And on day one of primary one, when you're faced with maths, you don't jump in with like algebra and vectors and Soka Toa. We all remember Soka Toa, don't we? There's stepping stones into it. There's stepping stones. This is about Christ using us to win others, not us doing the work of salvation. He does that. But his plan is to use us. The gospel in its fullness was utterly consistent in all that Paul did. He might have changed his approach time and time again, but the gospel message was always the same. And in that, we need to remember that this message that we have, it is offensive to some as well. So as we are sharing, as we are going out, as we are rearranging our lives and trying to meet new people and building up those friendships, and we get to the point of sharing Jesus with them, some will be excited about this, some will want to know more, but some will be offended by it. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God." Some will be offended by it. Some will, as in Matthew 5, it says, persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you. And just read the last few verses of Philippians 1 as well. It's just like, not everyone is going to respond and say, yes, I need Jesus. But some will. Some will. In Acts 17, again, where Paul is in Athens, as he closes out that passage, is really obvious. Some say, yes, we want to know more about who Jesus Christ is. But others, and it says in this passage, mocked Paul for what he was saying. If that was the case then, we should expect the same thing now. But some will say yes. For all the mocking we might get, it is worth it, people, that some will say yes. Some will have their eyes opened by the Spirit to see that they have a Father in heaven who loves them so, so much. They will see that God himself came down to this world to be with us, to rescue us, because we are so in need of a Savior. They will see that they have rebelled against God and that they are in need of God's grace and mercy. Some will. Some will see that they need healed. Some will see that Jesus is real. Some will see that Jesus died in their place on the cross to save them. Some will see that Jesus rose 3 days later, defeating sin and death. Some will see that Jesus reigns right now by the Father's right side, sitting in victory. Some will choose to trust him. Some will choose to follow him and share in the blessings that we all have each and every single day in Jesus Christ. Some will. Would we be willing by any means to be used by Jesus so that some will? Would we not isolate ourselves? Would we be willing to rearrange our priorities, take time to understand the cultures and the people around us? And would our message stay steadfast the whole time? I came across a quote a few weeks ago that I think sums up much of this pretty well. It says, "The church is not meant to call men and women out of the world into a safe religious enclave, but to call them out in order to send them back as agents of God's kingship." In half an hour, 40 minutes or so, we're all going to walk out those doors. And we all have choices to make. And I pray for all of us that we would choose to make the same choice that Paul did, that he would say, I am a servant of Christ. I am free in Christ. I have the power of God living in me, and I will go and serve everyone in any way imaginable so that they may share in the same blessings that I do. Would we do that? And would we do it because we know what will happen if we don't? And would that fact sadden us? That here in this world, that there's many people here do not share in Jesus Christ. Who still, as in Ezekiel 36, talks about, you have the heart stone, but he replaces it with a heart of flesh. Would we want people to share in that blessing? Would we want people to come and share in the blessing of being with us? At Soul Survivor, every time someone gives their life to Jesus, they go to the front, and they're kind of facing the front, and they're facing Mike and Andy. And so they're having a chat, and then at the end, Mike gets him to turn around, and he does this kind of apologetically, but kind of funny as well. He says, turn around. This is your family now. And everyone lifts up this huge cheer. It is so loud. But everyone is cheering because someone has just joined their family. Because someone has just come into saving faith in Jesus Christ. Would we want that for our family, for our friends, and for our neighbors? Would we do it by any means? Let me pray. And then, can I ask the band to pop up? But I'll explain what I'm going to do in a second. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for Paul. And in 1 Thessalonians, he says how he wants to give his life as someone that we can imitate as he is imitating Christ. And would we see what Paul has chosen here? That in his freedom in Christ, he said, I'm going to become a servant to all so that I might be used by God to win some. Lord, we see the privilege it is that you choose to use us this way. Thank you, Lord, that we get to share the greatest gift with this world of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, would you remind us afresh this morning of who we are in you, of who you are and how much you love us, and how much you love this world. Would you come and move in all of us? Holy Spirit, would you remind us, would you prod us just to say, what about this? What about doing that? I pray that you come and speak with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm just going to ask the band just to play through a song. And as they do that, you're allowed to take out your phone or a pen or something, and paper, but I'd like you to write an I will statement. And so it needs to start with, I will something, something, something. So it might be, I will spend an hour this week looking at my schedule and seeing where I'm spending my time. Or I will go and engage with that person at my workplace that I've been meaning to do so for quite some time, but I've never got around to it. I will go and go to that community event so that I can build up some friendships. Make it quite specific, and then choose someone that you're going to share it with at the end of the time. And so at the end of our time, where you can do that later on today, send that to that person as well. And ask them in a week's time for them to come back to you and say, ask me how I got on. Hold me to this. Hold me accountable to this. So let's do that. So for the first time ever in church, you're allowed to open up your phones, and it doesn't need to be the Bible app. So go for it, people. And the band are going to lead us through a song, and then in a short time, we're going to sing a couple of songs.